All right. Welcome back to the Your Mom Has a Blog podcast.
Hello.
This is our second attempt at a podcast. So this will be episode two. Last one went pretty well. We had some good feedback. And so we're excited to bring some more exciting topics that I know you can't wait to hear about, like birthday parties for four-year-olds. Welcome back, Melissa. It's always good to be here at the house with you.
It's just a great life, isn't it?
It is. That's when we got married. So we could just always be together.
I know.
So I've had a good night tonight. It's been exciting, hasn't it?
It has.
Well, we had dress rehearsal for dance recital. And I don't know how many of you guys, I guess I should just assume no men listen to this. But if there are a few guys, like your dad... And
hey, I have guys.
Zach Hall.
I have guys that listen. Yeah,
a few people we know are listening. But if you've never been to a dance recital, I mean, it is it's its own unique form of punishment, is what I always like to say.
No.
But I do always enjoy it in the end. I'm always glad I went because I'm paying for all that.
Dance recitals are a highlight of my life.
Okay, well, I'm glad I could be there for you.
No, it's
I don't
really
think I
fun.
Would. I wouldn't call them a highlight of my life, but they are fun.
It's fun. It's so cute. Oh my goodness! And all the costumes. I'm just living vicariously through Adelaide because I never got to take dance.
You never
dance.
Got to do that, did
no.
you?
No.
Yeah, they didn't have that in Gorman. Did
I wanted
they?
To be a tap dancer.
Want to be? That makes me think of a good Gorman memory.
Oh, what's that?
Look what I have here. Look what I've got here. Let me play it for you.
I think it's a tambourine.
Is that good? Tell us your tambourine story. Tell us about your love affair with the tambourine. This is one of those things about, you know, there's just little cute things about your wife, but this one really takes the cake. So tell them what happened with your tambourine career when you were in elementary school.
Well, I don't know how it really all came about, except that I got a tambourine for Christmas, I think. You know, it was just part of my Christmas. Got a tambourine. And so I went back to school after Christmas. I was probably second or third grade. And so I was telling people I got a tambourine because I thought they were cool, you know, like play it on your hip, you know, in
they
a rock
cool.
band. And
it's not,
well,
not really a cool solo instrument, but they are cool. They do add a vibe.
So I was telling everybody about my tambourine. Well, then this girl who was in my class revealed that she also had a tambourine. And so we decided to bring our tambourines to school because we were going to play tambourines at recess and
start a tambourine duo.
The thing is that I had the tambourine, you know, like with the sheepskin or whatever, you know, like the tambourines with the drum kind of thing.
Yeah, like a drum kind of tambourine, yeah.
And she had an open tambourine.
Like this one?
So her tambourine was really
loud.
Rock star.
Okay.
And mine really wasn't.
Yeah.
Mine was more like...
Yours was like from Mott's.
Yeah. But anyway, so we decided we're going to play the tambourine, and this is how I played it. Here, let me see that.
Not too loud.
Oh, I'll play it over here. I played it like this.
Loud.
Okay, and then the way she played it was she had all these twists and turns and things that she would do, and she was really good at it.
She was like a performance artist.
She was a really good tambourine player, and so that only lasted maybe 2 days at recess, and then I realized that...
You were out of your league?
Yeah, it just wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
So...
But y'all played on the bus, didn't you?
We rode the same bus. Yeah, and we sang Elvira on the bus every day after school.
Elvira and played your tambourines.
Yeah, we were really cool.
Yeah, so but you weren't tap dancing. You were just more like Elvira and tambourini.
I know. The tap dancing probably would have changed my life.
It probably would have, but you know, you did what you could with the Oak Ridge Boys and your tambourine.
Yeah.
Well, what are we talking about today? What have you got lined up for us?
Well, I thought I would give a birthday party update.
All right.
Since we mentioned last time that Emerald's big birthday party was coming up that was, you know, no planning, really, just a birthday party at the park.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to report it was a huge success.
It was awesome.
And the weather was perfect, even though we thought it was going to rain, but it didn't, and it was really pretty. But the big news of the birthday party is that Emerald got a Barbie dream house.
It's incredible.
Which I've always wanted my whole life, and now I have one. I'm so excited. Yeah. And I spent all day Saturday putting it together. It's gigantic.
It's awesome. Yeah.
But I love it. And that and the best thing is I got that Barbie dream house for $40, y'all. $40 bucks at Walmart. After Christmas clearance. I don't even know how that happened. Yeah. So anyway, I've been keeping that secret for months, and it was so exciting. I think I was actually more excited than she was.
Well, that's good. And we've got dance recital coming up. And we also, I got pulled over tonight.
You did?
That was exciting. I got pulled over by a very nice sheriff's deputy here in Young County. And he did not give me a ticket, even though I did not have a registration sticker on my pickup truck.
Yes.
That was an oversight. My fault, but I pledge I will never drive without an inspection registration sticker, and I will never break the law in Newcastle, Texas again by speeding through the gigantic 35-mile-per-hour sign.
I bet you will.
I bet I won't.
But here's a little
known, learned my lesson.
Here's a little known fact about me is that I have a lead foot, and I get stopped quite frequently. And yet I never get a ticket.
You've got the touch.
Now that I've said that, I will
You'll probably get a ticket.
But I predict, it's my theory that the reason you did not get the ticket you deserve tonight
you
is
were in
because
the car.
I was in the car. Yeah. There's something about...
And I have an unlead foot, but I still manage to speed every now and then. I have a distracted foot.
Well, you were trying to think of the capital of Florida.
It wasn't that. We had actually moved on from that one, hadn't we?
I don't know.
Like Kentucky or... What is it again?
Frankfurt.
Frankfurt, yeah, Frankfurt.
That was the one I got right.
Yeah, I learned those.
Adelaide is learning her capitals, so she was quizzing us. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's another thing that's been happening this week. For some crazy reason, I got on the internet and started looking at used cars.
Okay, yeah. She wanted a new car, used car, new to us.
Well, y'all know I've blogged some about the minivan that I've been driving since Adelaide was almost in kindergarten, mm-hmm. and I love my van. It's got some issues now.
It's a hoopty.
But, you know, I still love it. I don't know. It's got everything. It's got heated seats. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. We bought it used, like really used.
But it was loaded.
And it's been such a good car.
You buy a used car, you can get one that's loaded.
That's right.
That's the plan.
So what happened was, I don't know what kind of experience y'all have with car shopping, but shopping online for cars is just as bad as going to the dealership. You just get all involved in it, and you start picturing yourself driving around in these cars. And I found this little Volvo SUV. It was a 2010, right?
2010, yeah.
And, oh, it just looked so beautiful in the pictures, and I started picturing myself driving that car and how I would just need to go buy myself some expensive sunglasses. That's just what I kept thinking.
It's got the place where it can hold the sunglasses on the roof. And I told you, I said, once you get emotionally attached to it, they got you.
Uh-huh. And it happened.
And it happened.
I got emotionally attached.
But I was not emotionally attached at that point.
No.
I wanted you to be happy, though.
Thank you.
I wanted you to have that little car if you wanted it.
So Chad drove up to Oklahoma City to look at this car, which they had told us was completely spotless, blemish-free.
Blemish-free.
Beautiful car.
Nothing's wrong with it. Nope. No issues. That's what they told me on the phone and in an email.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they were trying to lie to me.
You're nice.
Yeah, I know. I am nice. I'm a pastor. It's like that's part of my job.
Not all pastors are nice.
But this one is.
Actually.
I'm a very nice pastor. and I don't think that they were lying. I think they just it was a black car, and I don't think that they really looked at it very closely.
Oh, gosh.
That's what I think. Because, I mean, I didn't even notice it when I walked out there, and I looked at the back of the car first. I didn't notice it. You can't see it on the pictures.
Well, anyway, there was a dent in the back of it. And
the size of Oklahoma.
Yeah, and so...
So a very awesome deacon of ours, Don Barry, drove up there drove me up there in his car, because he has a car that gets pretty good gas mileage. So we drove up there, and we got to the dealership and realized there was a huge dent in it. And I said, I don't think I want this anymore. They wouldn't deal at all. They wouldn't try to meet us halfway. And so we just left. And so I called Melissa, and she'd been telling me, if it's got a big dent in it, be tough. Be tough. And I'm not tough when it comes to stuff like that. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be nasty to people.
You don't have to be mean. You're just not a very good negotiator.
I'm not a good negotiator. Yeah. I can see their side of it. It's a problem.
You sympathize
with them. Yeah, I sympathize with them. Like, oh, these poor guys. I mean, they have like the worst job ever. This would be a terrible thing to have to do every day, to lie to people about dents in the back of SUVs. They weren't lying. So, but it's Jim Norton Toyota. Never shop there. Just want to put that out there. They will not treat you right. But I'm sure a lot of them have good qualities, but they don't do good business. So I just wanted to throw that in there because this is our platform, people. And it's an amazing platform. We're gonna do a lot of really amazing things with it. By the way, I love a lot of things that Jim Norton Toyota does.
Is that your Donald Trump?
It's terrible, Donald Trump. Yeah.
Okay, so in the course of all this, I don't know. I'm just feeling like I'm in a minivan rut.
But I like the minivan. I think go with the minivan. You get the most bang for your buck with a minivan. You get the DVD player. You get the heated seats. Okay, you get the stow and go.
Listen, if you drive a car you really love that's big enough for a family of five, then, you know, tell me about it. I want to know what you drive that you really love because I'm open to suggestions.
I'm just saying, hey.
But I think I'll end up getting another town and country.
Look, two words, one letter. Two words, one letter. Two words.
Two words, one letter.
Stow and go. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. You can't beat the stow and go.
It is nice.
It's amazing. I mean,
it's great.
Where did all that room come from down there where you can just put a seat down there under the floor?
No, it's nice. I love it.
I think it's amazing. Stow and go.
Yeah, stow and go.
Stow and go. That's what
two
you
words,
need.
Two words, one letter.
Stow and go. And two hyphens.
Yeah, I know. Chrysler needs to call us now.
Right.
We've used our platform to talk about stow and go.
I love a lot of things about Chrysler. We're going to do a lot of really great things together. Chrysler Town and Country. I just wish all the paint on our last Town and Country hadn't peeled off the... build off the hood.
That's what's holding me back from the town and country.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, that's a great looking car, but it's in just a couple of years. There'll be no paint on the hood. But, stow and go.
Two words.
Yeah. One letter. You still got the stow and go, even whenever you have no paint on the hood.
Okay. Moving on from the minivans. All right, so we got some reader questions this week.
Okay, what do we got?
So I picked out two for us to talk about. So the first one was, how did we meet? Do you remember how we met?
Someone really asked that?
Yeah.
Someone really wants to know how we met.
Yeah, is that hard to believe?
Well, yeah, it is hard to believe.
Why?
It's not, for one thing, it's not that exciting, and it makes me kind of look stupid.
It's not that interesting, but...
All right, so here's the way I remember it. So, you know, I was kind of a big deal at our college, and not really. But I remember seeing Melissa come in. I didn't know her name, and I didn't know anything about her, really. But I remember watching her come in the cafeteria, and I would turn to, and with her roommate... And I would say, gosh, you know, these girls that have come in as freshmen are so pretty. They're just really, I just think they're so much better looking than the ones that came in the year before. That's probably not good to say, is it?
No, but scratch that.
But we said things like that. I probably shouldn't say that. But I just remember thinking that you were stunningly beautiful with your red hair and your sweatshirts.
And my big bows.
And your big bows, yeah, your big bows. Yeah. So
those were the days.
So I was trying to think of a way how, you know, and what I thought was amazing about Melissa is that no matter what, I could not make eye contact with you. You never looked around. So I'm an eye contact person. Like, I'll, like, try to fish. I'm fishing for it. I fish for eye contact.
Yeah.
You can tell that about me, right? I mean, I want to make the connection.
Oh, yeah.
And yet you were just always staring at your tater tot casserole or something. You never looked up.
Okay, the reason why is because I have always been so awkward when it comes to boys.
Mm-hmm. And I was an awkward boy.
And I
still am.
And the way that I flirted was that if I thought you were cute, I ignored your existence.
Yeah.
So yeah. It was not a successful way to flirt
I'm glad you did it that way, but so there I was, you know, trying to figure out a way, how can I get her attention? And there were things that we would try to do, like try to make milk come out of our nose and, you know, other, just things like that, that you try to do to get people's attention, stand up on chairs and sing. And, you know, we would put silverware in people's hoods. I mean, we did all sorts of fun stuff to try to get people's attention or to not get their attention. And I could never get Melissa to look at me. So one day I just walked over there and I said the first thing that came to my mind. Like, there was no plan. Like, I had not said, hey, go over there and say something stupid. But I just walked over there and I wasn't sure what I was going to say. And so I said something like, that's a really interesting jacket you have on. And Melissa wore blazers a lot. So that was...
No, that's not true.
You wore blazers and sweatshirts.
I did not wear blazers.
Well, what would you call those things? They were like little jackets.
It was a suit.
It was
a Sunday after church that we were in the cafeteria. Okay. And
you wore a lot of blazers.
It was a suit. It was a mini skirt with a little suit jacket thing that went with it. That's not a blazer.
What is a blazer? Like what women wore in the 80s with the big shoulder pads?
Yeah.
She looked like Sigourney Weaver. Ghostbusters.
Y'all, no, I did not wear blazers in college. Please, please,
what
please
know that. What would you call them? A mini skirt suit.
It was a suit.
Suit. Yeah, she was wearing a suit, and it was green and yellow.
And plaid.
Plaid, but it, and it was woolen.
Yeah.
But it was a very coarse type of wool, right? It was like, it was just interesting.
It's just, you know, knowing Chad now, what he said just is exactly who Chad is, like that he would be interested in the fabric of the jacket.
Yeah, well, I thought the fabric was interesting. So that's a very interesting jacket. Can I touch it?
In another life, you could have been the host of, you know, a clothing design show.
Right.
Or something.
I would have liked the next
Project Runway guy.
That is a very interesting jacket. Do you mind if I touch that? Where did you find that? Here at Parsons, we just love those interesting fabrics.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's how it would have been.
Exactly.
So can I touch the jacket? So I felt of the jacket, and that was when the electricity started, right?
But you touched the sleeve of my jacket.
I touched the sleeve.
Just to clarify.
But through the sleeve, there were sparks flying, right?
Totally.
I don't think so. But that was how, that's how we met.
That's how we met.
That's how we met.
It was all because of a green plaid blazer.
In desperation. And a girl who never stopped looking at her tater tot casseroles. She would just stand. She was just totally focused in right there.
I was talking to my friends.
Yeah, talking to your friends. You weren't scoping out the field.
No, I wasn't.
So that's how we met. So I'm sure that was that's a terrible story.
I wonder how long it took us to tell that story.
Way too long. It took a lot longer to tell the story than it actually took for the whole thing to happen.
I know.
Yeah.
Hey. Two words.
Stow and
one
go.
Letter.
Stow and go.
Okay.
Stow and go.
All right. So another reader question. What was one of your most embarrassing moments?
No, this is for you.
Well, you have to tell
they
one.
They didn't ask me.
No. You have to tell
well,
one.
Well, I can't even think of any. Every day I do something stupid. You just tell us what...
Okay. This is the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to me, and I've never even told you this. I don't think
this will be good.
I mean, I thought I would take this to my grave, and then somehow I'm saying this on the internet.
Thought you were just going to stow and go.
Why am I doing that?
Take it to the grave.
I should have stowed and
two words, one letter.
Stowed and goad. Okay, so this happened to me when I was probably an eighth grader.
Okay.
I went to a slumber party, and you know, this is how all of the most embarrassing stories start.
Mm-hmm.
Slumber party.
Right. We don't do slumber parties.
No, and
that's for another podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be episode 3.
Could be. So I went to the slumber party, and somehow the next morning whenever I left an undergarment behind.
Okay.
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 So that was a Friday night. Well, the next Monday at school, the girl who hosted the sleepover brought said undergarment to school.
So you've got a pair of your undergarment. You've got a pair of undergarment. garments? You got a pair of undergarments?
Don't say a pair, just say...
Well, you've got an undergarment.
This was an unmentionable.
Okay, you've got an unmentionable.
Yes.
At the school.
At the school.
But the unmentionable is not on your body.
Right.
That's always going to be a dangerous situation.
So the unmentionable was shown around to everyone, and everyone was inquiring about who it belonged to. And of course, I was not going to claim.
But she knew it was your unmentionable.
The undergarment. No, she didn't know whose it was. And so my dear best friend, Diana, and I, you know, had a secret meeting about how that was actually mine, but that we could not tell anyone.
Okay.
And so we agreed no one would know that it was mine. Well, we had off-campus lunch at my junior high, and so did the high school, and our lunches were at the same time. And so junior high and high school mixed a lot. Well,
and tell them what the off-campus lunch was. They would all walk down to the Quickway and get a corn dog.
Well, no, I got a Crispito.
A Crispito.
Every day.
Yeah. So instead of going to the cafeteria with the healthy food.
And by the way, eating a Crispito every day is not good for your finger. Just so you know.
You'll be up a size in the unmentionables if you're not careful.
Exactly. Okay, so long story short, a high school boy ended up with my undergarment.
Unmentionable.
And he tied it.
Stow and go.
To the antenna of his car.
Oh, wow. And then he invited you to prom. That's how they do now. That would have been like the prom.
That would have been it.
What do they call that? The prom.
Proposal.
Promposal.
Promposal. Did you just make that up?
No, I'm not that smart.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, promposal. Okay.
So anyway, he rode around all during lunch with my unmentionable flying from the antenna of his car. And even though no one but Diana and me knew that they were mine,
it's like it an 80s movie.
It was the most embarrassing moment of my life. And it lasted it was like a long moment, you know?
I'll tell you what's going
to be. A whole lunch period.
Let me tell you what's going to be on the antenna of my car tomorrow.
So that was rough. That was rough. Eighth grade. It's a hard time. Hard times.
That is awesome.
But nobody knew until this moment
that you confessed it.
Now
you own it.
Now maybe it won't be my most embarrassing moment anymore.
Just marrying me goes up to the top spot. No.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I don't know what my most embarrassing... I mean, I'm sure I've got a lot of them. And I really, none come to mind. I wasn't prepared for that.
Well, you don't get embarrassed very easily.
That's true. I don't get embarrassed easy, but I do get embarrassed.
When she asked me that question, honestly, 20 stories came to my head.
About me?
No, about me.
What would you say my most embarrassing moment is?
I don't know. I've never seen you be embarrassed.
Yeah, I have been. I just can't think of one. I'll work on that.
You're just too cool.
I'll work on that for next time, or if I think of one while we're talking. I mean, I've really been trying to rack my brain, and then the underwear story got me thrown off.
Undergarment.
Unmentionable. Stow and go.
That means don't mention it.
You don't mention it, yeah.
Okay, so we're about to run out of time, but I did want to end on... Here's
just go as long as you want.
Here's the one thing...
This is the great thing about a podcast, is there's no hard breaks, and the great thing about having no advertisers is you never have to play a commercial.
Hello, Chrysler.
But if Chrysler wants to get in on this and Stow and Go and all that.
Your mom has the blog.com.
Your mom has a town and country and all the paint peeled off. And so y'all can make it right. But don't be like Jim Norton Toyota.
We still want another one. Two words, one letter. Okay. here's finally...
There we go.
Here's finally one thing of merit that we can talk about in this podcast. Okay. Okay. So this week I got an email from a man, and he reads my blog. See, I do have men. And he sent me an email about a situation, a really hard time that he's living through right now. And his wife has had an affair, and he was kind of just, I think just kind of, I don't know, reaching out, you know, asking for prayer. And he said, you know, this is something I would like for you to consider writing about sometime on your blog. And he had some really good advice that I thought was good food for thought for married people. And he said that he really thinks that one reason that his marriage was so vulnerable to an affair was that he did not believe that his wife was capable or could ever be tempted to do that, and that mm-hmm. he didn't believe that he could ever be tempted mm-hmm. to do that. And I thought it was just really good advice, you know, to think about. I think once we consider ourselves above any certain sin, mm-hmm. I don't know, I think there's a vulnerability there because we're not being vigilant about that. You know, we're not on guard about it. What do you think?
Well, I think it brings to mind the Bible verse, 1 Corinthians 10:12, which we just looked up. And Melissa had to tell me where it was.
Google told us where it was,
yeah. It's where Paul's talking about warning us or giving a warning based on Israel's history and saying, you know, these things happened to them. The fact that some of them were destroyed and died, it happened to them because of their disobedience, but that was an example to us as a warning for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. And I think people who will refuse to acknowledge that they're tempted are in trouble. Mm. See? So when you talk to a man and he says, oh, yeah, I don't struggle at all with lust. Well, I think I've told the guys in our Sunday school class, if you say you don't struggle with one of the sins that is the Bible would say is common to man. I mean, that's one of the major things that guys can all kind of relate to each other on is struggling with what our eyes look at and what our eyes will sort of dwell upon. And if a guy comes to me and says, I don't struggle with that, then I think he's probably in a greater position to fall hard when he's overtaken by that temptation, because he doesn't think he's susceptible to it. And I would say in the case of this man, that he gave good advice there, you know, and saying, look, I just never thought this was a possibility. Remember, anything is possible. That's why when I see the worst things on TV, newscasts, and especially, you know, being in ministry, you see a lot of instances where pastors fall into temptation. They fall into sin. They do unspeakable things, unmentionable things, and but they do. They, you know, and you're just sort of like, you know, I see whenever those news stories come on, people are outraged. How could a pastor do this? And yet, as a pastor, it scares me because mm-hmm. I think, oh, that guy's he's not different than me. Yeah. I could do that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always thinking, there's nothing that you're above. I mean, given the right circumstances, if you allow yourself to get in those circumstances into a certain way of thinking, a certain way of behaving, and you're and you pull the restraints off and you don't have any accountability, you're going to be in trouble. And probably the way that you get into that kind of trouble is to think that you're untouchable. You're not untouchable. You're not untouchable. No, you know, these things are common. I mean, all these temptations are common. So if you say, "Oh, I've struggled with this," and somebody says, "Well, you shouldn't struggle with that," you know, then they're probably really struggling with whatever it is, and they're just in denial, and they're trying to justify their behavior or whatever it is, but and not want to talk about it. But that's why I think it's important for us to actually talk about those things and to be honest, especially guys being honest with each other about the things that we struggle with.
I liked his point about how we shouldn't assume that our spouse doesn't struggle or would never struggle with these things either, because I think that that's part of, you know, part of what a Christian marriage is helping each other to avoid temptation. And if we say, especially if we send the message to our spouse, "Oh, I know you would never feel that way, or you would never think that, you would never look at pornography, or you would never look at a girl with lust in your heart." I mean, that's already setting them up to be ashamed of the fact that they're facing that temptation.
And then if they ever did want to come say, "Look, I'm struggling with this really bad," we don't need to have the, you know, don't subscribe to Cosmopolitan magazine and bring that into the house, because it really it's something I'm struggling with. And then if he confesses that to his wife, he knows it's going to shatter her image of him, you know.
Right.
And so it's almost like it's set up to where you're in your own home having to maintain a false front. And as we've talked about this before, that guys are really good at hiding things like that. Mm-hmm. Guys are really good at concealing. And I speak from experience. That's what guys are good at, concealing sins and things that they struggle with, and can make it look like they're perfect. You know, and only they know that they're not. And yet it's in that struggle of, and in that recognition in their own life of their own failure, that they just are wrecked spiritually.
Right.
You have no victory in your spiritual life whenever you're struggling like that, when you feel like you just can't get free from something that's ensnaring you, a sin that's ensnaring you. And I think to assume that your wife would never struggle with things like that, that's why you've got to be monitoring what's on your computer. You've got to, you know, don't have those cable channels that show filthy stuff on there. I mean, you know, just get that stuff out of your house,
mm-hmm.
and make it easy on yourself as a couple and as individuals and for your children. Make it easy for them to obey. And always assume that you're always, both of you are susceptible to falling into the sin and temptation, and you're going to build each other up and encourage the good things instead of almost encouraging each other to live a secret life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and you know, Chad and I have an open policy when it comes to each other's phones, email, Facebook accounts, and all that. And we don't do that because we don't trust each other. I mean, we're doing that as an extra layer of accountability, because we know that, you know, the other person at any time can pick up the phone and look at text messages or whatever.
Yeah. It's not that you don't trust each other, although that's what people assume that it is. They say, "Oh, you don't trust each other, you're suspicious," or whatever. But I don't know. What would you say it is? It's not that
I think it's part of...
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Thank you.
I just want to defer to you on this.
Thank you so much.
Stow and go.
I consider it more of a... it's like a defensive... It's a defensive act. It's like me trying to stand between you and the sin that tries to ensnare you, and you standing between me and the sin that tries to ensnare me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Well, thanks.
It's a team effort. Yeah. I'm glad you're doing that. And, you know, it's not that we're suspicious of one another. It's just a way, you come to a point when you look at what the Bible says about the status of humanity, okay? You come to a point in your theology where there's just a certain realism about human nature that's fallen and the danger of sin. Mm-hmm. And so it's not that you're suspicious or that you're just accepting the reality that we're kind of always going to go to the gutter. And that if you don't keep each other out of the gutter, if you don't keep each other out of trouble, and you're not constantly having to walk over and sort of aim each other back at the truth, through saying the truth to each other, through talking about those things that are a struggle, and we talk about those things, or we talk about when we see something in the news, or we see, and we well, you know, that could happen to anybody. We've got to be careful. You also just have to remind yourself, this is important. We need to be careful. We need to be vigilant. You know, we're going to build a wall.
Just do an all-out
impression. I can't do it. I don't do a very good one.
Yeah, you do.
I don't know. I'm not feeling. I'm. I don't know.
You're not feeling the
I'm
Donald.
I'm not feeling the Donald. I'm so upset tonight for Ted. You know,
Adelaide. When she found out, Adelaide's our 11-year-old. When she found out that Ted dropped out of the race, she was fighting back tears. She really was. She's a big Ted Cruz fan.
She loves Ted. Loves big time. Ted and Heidi.
Yeah, I love Ted too.
Yeah, we like Ted. I mean, Ted Cruz just probably, this is not the year. And I think I think of myself, I'm 41. And so Ted is not that much older than me. He's just 4 years older than I am. And I can't even imagine myself in 4 years trying to run for president. I mean, that's how much, I mean, I'm not smart enough to do it, and I don't have
Let's go for it.
Stow and go, baby. Let me tell you something. We are going to stow and go in this country. It's going to be remarkable. It's going to be amazing. We're going to do some amazing, amazing things. People are going to love it, by the way. But I think Ted is going to, over the next 3 or whatever, however many years left, 3 or 4 years, whatever is on his Senate term, finish out this term. I'm sure there's nothing probably like running for president that you can do. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as being an American, that's like a really American thing to do, to run for president.
It's so patriotic. It's
so patriotic. I'm going to be the president. Yeah. I'm going to follow in George Washington's footsteps. So it probably gave him a much broader view of the country, the things that are going on in the country. And maybe the fact that everyone seemed to a man to come out and say they didn't like him. I mean, that's got to really affect you. Be like, what am I doing wrong?
I know.
That everyone who knows me says they don't like
that
me.
That hurts.
Yeah, it hurts. That had to hurt.
Yeah.
And I know, and he seems thoughtful, and he seems like a good listener. I've noticed that about him, when he really will listen to, and he's thinking of what he's going to say, but he does interact with what people are saying. So I hope that he'll go back. My advice, Ted, here's my advice, buddy. I just want to let you know how I feel. I was really into your race and your campaign from the beginning at Liberty University. I watched you talk to all the college kids, and I thought, what in the world is Ted Cruz thinking running for president? This is going to be a total disaster. Doesn't he know that there's 15 other guys that are going to run for president who everybody else likes? But, you know, but then as I've watched him, I think he's done such a great job given the fact that nobody likes him, that he was the last man standing next to Trump.
Ted, Adelaide Edgington, age 11, loves you.
Yeah, she thinks you're great.
She loves you, man.
I think you're misunderstood. Because I know, Ted, you grew up in Second Baptist Church Houston in the golden age of youth ministry. Man, we both played Chubby Bunny. You know? I saw him even bust out the old words to the Gilligan Island theme song.
Oh,
to
Amazing
the tune
Grace.
Of Amazing Grace.
Oh,
I was like,
gosh.
This guy, we could have been like blood brothers.
Yeah.
You know, we probably, you know, had the majority of our wardrobe from the years 1990 to 1993 consisted of Christian t-shirts.
Yes.
God's gym.
No God, no peace.
No God, no peace. No God, no peace. You know, works both ways.
It totally does.
Yeah, no God,
that
no
blew
peace.
My mind.
Yeah, I had to have that shirt.
I had that one.
Had to go down there to, was it Justin's? What was it called? Joshua's.
Joshua's.
Yeah, Justin's is a boot place.
Yeah.
Or a boot company.
You weren't cool enough to shop at Justin's.
No, we were totally Joshua people. Joshua's. And you remember how when you would buy a Christian tape, do you remember a Christian tape, you would get it, and it had like an extra, piece of paper on it, like an extra flap that the secular tapes didn't have. Do you remember that?
No.
You don't remember that on your Go West Young Man tape.
The other tapes had that too.
No, no.
If
this
it had
was,
the lyrics.
No, this was an extra.
What like, was on the flap?
Well, there was two holes in it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that was an extra thing that I don't think other tapes had
yes,
that.
Yes, they did.
They didn't.
You just didn't own other tapes.
I burned them all at summer camp.
You did.
I never burned a secular tape. I was there when a lot of them were burned. I was cheering them on.
You never burned one?
I never burned a secular tape.
I never burned one either.
I wasn't going to burn the Beatles.
Yeah.
I mean.
Or Elvis.
Yeah, no kidding. I was like, man, these guys are nuts. These guys that had.
But they were burning like.
They were burning Beastie Boys.
Yes.
Because their mom had said, you can't have that.
They were burning Fresh Prince.
They burned a Fresh Prince? He
Gosh,
seemed pretty tame.
No, I thought he was too, but then I tried to show Adelaide. Parents just don't understand.
It's bad, huh?
It's so bad.
Okay,
how did our parents let us listen to that?
I don't know.
It's bad.
I don't think they realized how bad culture was getting.
We're talking for too long.
Yeah,
this
is
going to wrap up.
This is gone.
This 40, is getting out of control.
42 minutes. If you've made it this far, you are a loser.
No.
No. You're a great person.
You're our favorite people.
You're our favorite person ever for making
We're really
it this...
not. We didn't set out to talk this long.
No.
We were in a talkative mood tonight.
And, I mean, the first time we were going to do this, she's like, you think we can talk for 17 minutes? It's easy. You pretend like we're just
so
doing
now
what
we
normally
now,
do.
So here's what would be fun is to go back and divide up the time and see who talked for more minutes.
Why would you want to do that? Stow and go. Just forget it. We're gonna hit. I don't want to. This is 42 minutes long.
Yeah, I'm never listening.
I'm
to
never
this.
Getting it back. I'm not gonna listen to it again.
Yeah.
You know, but if somebody was working on the treadmill. And they went for 20 or so on the treadmill.
You know, Barbara, last week, she listened to this while she was ironing.
See?
So it's a way to take a task you hate and turn it
and
into
and make it even worse.
A more tedious task.
No, you did a good job. You did a good job tonight. I think you brought a lot of interesting things to the table.
Why, thank you.
And I'm sorry that you didn't get that car. And I think, so the questions we need to know.
What kind of car should I get?
Is there an alternative to a minivan where kids aren't having to, like, climb over seats?
Well, I mean, they have to climb over seats.
Yeah, I don't like that. I like just the stow and go and center aisle.
But if it's
two
an
words.
We need to know an SUV that we could buy that's, like,
cheap.
A 2012.
2013.
That is really cheap and really huge and has everything on it. Oh, yeah, that's a town and country.
Yeah, the town and country, stow and go. Yeah, I just say go with it.
Two words, one letter.
Be a minivan mom until, you know, they're gone. And then.
I like minivans. I don't know why. I just.
But maybe someone's got an idea out there.
It was the thought of maybe I just need to buy some expensive sunglasses.
I think the sunglasses will change your life. So what's the best kind of sunglasses?
Yes.
All right. The best car we can get. Does anybody remember Christian tapes being manufactured in a different way than
no,
the secular
that's
tapes?
Not, that's
I really
not a
think
deal.
It was. It was.
And
different.
Did you have a no God, no peace, no God, no peace shirt?
Or a bumper sticker? Yes. I remember Chris Hughes had the bumper sticker, so I remember. I do remember that.
Okay, we got to wrap it up.
And I'm going to try to think of my most embarrassing moment. And maybe if you're listening to this, you might just let me know. Hey, Chad, I listened to podcast number 2. That was your most embarrassing moment. Right?
So, could be. Maybe so. This is our new number 1 embarrassing moment.
One embarrassing moment, our podcast.
Okay, it's about to be 45 minutes. Now we have to stop.
Okay. Well, it's been great having you join us, coming along for the ride of our lives. I just made that up. Just right here. What do you want to say? Why don't you give a farewell greeting to our faithful listener? your dad.
Is farewell greeting?
A farewell message.
Okay, here's the farewell message.
It's two words.
Stow.
Stow and go. Hey, from stow and go.
Two words. One letter.
From Melissa Edgington.
Stow and go.
Stow and go, baby. We'll see you next time on the Your Mom Has a Blog podcast.
Thanks for listening, y'all.
I'm Chad Edgington.
I'm Melissa Edgington.
And make sure you read that yourmomhasablog.com blog. And we love you, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.